The chance to get rich in Silicon Valley stops for no man or woman and for no government shutdown as Twitter forges ahead with its stock offering.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The social media company Twitter has finally shared details of a plan to sell slices of itself to the public. An odd section of an economic stimulus law from a couple of years ago allows companies to announce an offering of stock without revealing much. But now that Twitter has filed with the SEC, some of the opacity has dissolved. Ben Johnson, who does the Marketplace Tech Report, is here. Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
There are a lot of numbers to plow through in these documents. Which ones stand out for you?
The first number I'll give you is $69 million. That's how much the company lost in the first 6 months of this year. What that tells us is Twitter isn't really consistently profitable yet. The second number I'd give you is $253 million. That's how much the company brought in during the first half of 2013. That's double what they brought in during the same period last year. Most of that revenue is thanks to advertising, which Twitter only just started doing 2 years ago.
And so anything in this filing that might give investors pause or scare them off?
Well, sustaining that growth we just talked about is going to be hard. Most of Twitter's revenue right now comes from the U.S., and the company has yet to make inroads in a lot of countries. China, for instance, has been blocking Twitter. And meanwhile, the country's own similar service, Sina Weibo, has already taken off. So it might be tough to compete.
I have to ask you, Ben, is this really the best time for a company to try to go public? I mean, the problems in Washington have cast this pall of uncertainty over markets. That could be bad for Twitter.
Here's the thing. Whether or not things are bad in Washington, this is Twitter's moment. They've had really strong growth this year, and everybody's talking about going mobile. So I think it's got a lot of wind in its sails, and the idea is to capitalize on that.
Capitalize is the word. Ben Johnson hosts our show, Marketplace Tech. Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
Adobe Systems is looking into hackers stealing source code for its PDF reader, another popular Adobe software. Information on about 3 million Adobe customers appears to have been stolen as well, including encrypted passwords and credit and debit numbers. An investigative journalist first spotted the problem and called it to Adobe's attention. The thriller Runner Runner hits theaters today. Justin Timberlake gets caught up in a nefarious online poker operation run by Ben Affleck. Because the movie delves into the darker sides of gambling, you might be surprised to learn that the American Gaming Association has become something of a fan of the movie. Marketplace's Dan Weissman explains.
In the movie, Affleck shares the following nugget with Timberlake just before shoving him into a tank of hungry crocodiles.
You know, at the casino, when they give you chips, they say, good luck, sir.
They don't tell you.
That sir means dummy. Good luck means...
The Gaming Association has launched a campaign around the movie to jumpstart something it's been pushing for years, federal regulations for online poker. The association's director, Jeff Freeman, says even though online gambling is illegal in the U.S., it's already a $3 billion industry.
It's here. The question is, are we going to regulate it and create the right framework for this, or are we going to allow the black market to thrive?
But Freeman's true opponents aren't really handsome, crocodile-owning thugs, says Richard McGowan. He's a professor at Boston College's Carroll School of Management. They're actually, wait for it, state governments.
If I'm a state governor or a state treasurer, I am not amused at the thought of federal regulation here.
That's because the feds would then collect the taxes and fees, and the states would face more competition for their own gambling franchise, the lottery. I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
If you have the federal shutdown blues, either because you're not being paid or you've had enough from politicians, pundits, analysts, and the rest, hear now a moment of wisdom. We wanted to see what Congress might learn from the mouths of seventh graders. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
It's a busy Wednesday morning at the private Lowell School in Washington.
Good morning.
Teacher Sarah Smith is herding rambunctious seventh graders into their seats for the first class of the day, humanities, part of the curriculum, government.
I'm going to introduce Nancy Marshall Genzer.
I'm a special guest this morning, here to get the seventh grade perspective on the shutdown. These kids have a front row seat for the shutdown show. I start by asking, who knows somebody who works for the government? Hands shoot up.
Yeah, my dad works for EPA.
My aunt works in the Senate.
These students are paying attention. So when I ask them, hey, what's your advice for Congress? They're ready. Naomi Steinglass goes first.
I don't know whether this would work, but maybe if the government had a certain amount of money for each thing they would want to buy, so like they would have a section of money for like schools and a section for healthcare.
You know what, Naomi? Believe it or not, that's how the government is supposed to work. I explained that Congress didn't pass the budget bills this year, and the government shut down. I asked the kids for more ideas. Ari Katz has something to say. He's the one whose aunt works in the Senate.
I think Congress should allow the government an allowance.
Ari says when the money runs out, the spending stops. Heads nod in agreement. These kids know how allowances work. It's sort of like a balanced budget amendment. Isabel Alvarez raises her hand. She's the daughter of the EPA employee. She takes that balanced budget idea one step further.
The government should start setting aside like 5% of their money that they get from taxes so that they can start paying off the debt.
With that last little bit of earnest wisdom, class is over, and the kids get back to their world of allowances, limits, and raising their hands to speak. Yep. Congress could learn a lot from a seventh grader. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And we have a genius in America for PR. Sometimes it goes awry, though. A burger place in Chicago is serving patties topped with a communion wafer, unconsecrated. Owner says he doesn't know what all the fuss is about. Sometimes the gift for PR is a pleasant change. Fruit of the Loom is offering free underpants to thousands of LinkedIn users who can show they've just changed jobs. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.